And did you hear on my mind every hour of the day without your sweet inspiration?
It's another Tuesday night. It's 7 p.m. on the West Coast, which means, yes, it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. This is Tammy Jackson, and I'm welcoming you to 60 minutes of sweet conservative inspiration. You can interact with questions and comments if you want on Twitter during the show. I try to keep an eye on that. You can follow me at Tammy J, T-H-M-I-J. My first guest tonight is my friend, you all will recognize him, Scott Jones. Scott Jones served three presidents, two Texas governors as key volunteer staff or government appointee. He included two terms as chairman of the Texas Department of Transportation under Governors Clements and Bush. He served as communications and campaign strategist for numerous local, state, national candidates for public office. But most of my great listeners remember Scott as the former host of Pops Radio. But now he's in a different gig, and so I kind of pulled him away from his everyday job. He owns, I guess it's an auction house, an auction business. It's NJ Auctions and Consulting, and I've got it linked on the show page even. So Scott Jones, my good friend, thanks for making time to be on the show.
Hey, Tammy, only you could pull me away from exploding bombs and Austin and Laura Ingraham's show. But you know what? I'd part the Red Sea to be with you anytime.
Oh, you're so sweet. Yeah, I was just happy to get him on here. And I know that's probably good for you. Do you feel calmer on a daily basis because you're not glued to the TV set and with your blood pressure spiraling at what's going on?
And, you know, Tammy, that was really the genesis of me stepping away. And I got so many wonderful notes from, you know, we had a lot of great folks on our show Monday mornings here on the 405, from Brett Baer to Cheryl Atkinson. I mean, I'm not name dropping. You know all the people that we've had on.
Yes.
Some of them you interviewed with me.
And, oh, yes, I was fortunate to do so.
I just got the sweetest note from Cheryl Atkinson, who hosts her own show, Full Measure, on the Sinclair Broadcast Network. Your listeners maybe remember her as the chief national investigative correspondent for CBS News. Just the sweetest note of encouragement and understanding having to step away. But, you know, Tammy, you kind of put your finger on it. You know, part of the genesis of me making that decision is I was starting to internalize and personalize a lot of the frustration that I think a lot of Americans, including your listeners, have, which is how unfair and how in the tank the left, the deep state, and there is a deep state, I believe, and the national news media were against conservatives in general and Donald Trump in specific. And God, since you and I have talked, what a difference a few months make. The House, as we were talking about right before we went to air here, has closed their investigation into Trump collusion, yet Bob Mueller plows on and the left gives Donald Trump, no matter what the results are, and I mean there are tremendous economic results of his presidency, the rollback of regulations, and a lot of good things going on that I think people are feeling, yet if you were to listen to mainstream media today, there's going to be a Democratic wave in November of this year. And I don't know that I buy it. I don't know what your bones tell you.
Well, I don't know that I buy it either, only because, remember, in 2016, all the polls told us that there was no path to the White House for Donald J. Trump.
Right.
That it was going to be pretty steep. There's probably no way he could do it. There was no path. And then all of a sudden, there was crying and wailing and gnashing of teeth at the Hillary headquarters in New York City with a glass ceiling. And so now when I hear this stuff, I kind of like, yeah, I don't know. Now, I understand a lack of enthusiasm because that is the normal way of things, isn't it, Scott Jones? That when you have a midterm.
That's right. And history would prove that midterms are not good for the party in power. But, you know, I question, number one, conventional wisdom based on what you just cited, you know, the polling and all of that's being so abjectly wrong in the 2016 election. And if you really believe the idiom that people vote on their pocketbook, despite what, you know, we have a saying here in Texas, don't pee on my boots and try to convince me that it's raining. Okay. And I think that's the mainstream media's gig here, is they're trying to tell everybody how awful it is and how awful President Trump is. But yet people, I think, are starting to feel it in their pocketbooks. There's a sense of small business and medium business optimism out there. People have gotten bonuses because of the tax cuts that he's done. And so I'm wondering is if, like you say, in 2016, all the conventional wisdom went out the window, could that be the situation in 2018? Now, mind you, my admonition would be is that if Republicans and conservatives sit on their laurels and don't engage in the midterms, we could repeat what has been historically bad for the party in power. But if we can get energized and people will do what they need to do, I just think it would be disastrous if we lose the House, Tammy. And that is my major concern at this point.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I don't want that to happen. I want people to get busy. I want them to feel energized and a sense of urgency. As far as Trump goes and the media, law professor Glenn Reynolds of Instapundit, he calls the American press the Democrat operatives with bylines. And he wrote that if Trump cured cancer, the media would complain about overpopulation. And isn't that right? That's exactly how it goes.
Well, he's never going to get credit for anything, although a few, and I say a precious few, honest brokers on the Democratic side have given him at least tacit, I don't want to say congratulations, let's just say credit for some things that are happening. But it's despite all of that, despite all the negativity, you can't deny what's happening at ground level amongst American people. And I truly do believe, Tammy, that the average American family is feeling it a little bit economically. You know, it doesn't happen overnight, and a bonus is nice, but wage growth has trended positive for the first time in, what, about a dozen years?
Yes.
And people around the kitchen table feel it despite what, you know, the peeing on the boots and telling me it's raining mainstream media. And you know, what's really sad and what was also getting to me is there is no such thing as the fourth estate anymore, the eyes and ears of the people. It is all advocacy journalism. And you have, you know, outside of the hard news division of Fox News, and I don't include Shepard Smith in that.
Right.
But, you know, even Fox News is an advocate for a point of view in their programming, okay? But there's just no more honest brokers of what is real news that is designed to help the American people make informed decisions. I mean, even the news division of the three major networks I see is advocacy operations, and it's just it's tragic in a lot of ways, and I'm not sure what's going to come in and fill that void and build trust with the American people and the American media anymore.
Yeah, I see the same thing. And if people are just listening to ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, any of those stations, and quite a bit of Fox now can be included in that. But there are some conservatives at Fox. But I tell you, if you just listen to the regular news and you're not discerning, you're going to get the drumbeat of what everybody else is saying. If you listen to sound clips from all the major networks, every time something breaks, it's as if you're hearing the same one. It's as though the AP put out something or Soros put out something, and they're all reading it verbatim. It's just the same, an absolute echo chamber. A friend of mine wrote some stuff, and I put this up. We're going to do it in reverse order here, the show, because I was going to start out with all the auctioneering stuff, but we'll do it in the second half, because we're on a roll here with this congressional stuff, what's going on, so I want to keep going with this.
Sure.
But this This friend of mine, Bob Mack, he wrote this thing about Trump and how if all these people hate him, he must be doing something right. And I want to read what he wrote. President Trump has faced an unprecedented level of never-ending obstruction throughout the year. He was the first president in memory to be deprived of the honeymoon period after the inauguration day. And frankly, opposition at times has risen to levels that could arguably constitute downright treason. Donald Trump has finished his first year as the self-proclaimed people's champ, leaving a majority of his opponents floundering on the ring apron, wondering just what the hell hit them. Heck, Hillary Clinton, the Sonny Liston of presidential politics, is still in a daze, last seen stumbling around India, wondering what round she's in.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. But you know, Tammy, as far back as when you and John and I were doing the Gang of 405 and Trump was emerging as a viable candidate even before the nomination, we talked at length about how if by hook or crook he got elected, he was going to be pissing off some pretty powerful interests in the United States. And I'm not talking about just the good old boys and good old gals entrenched political elite in Washington, D.C. All the lobbying firms and all the lobbyists on K Street, all the power brokers throughout America, this is a guy who couldn't be bought. You know, he couldn't be persuaded or cajoled to take a position. A lot of the positions were against these powerful interests, clients, and all of that stuff. And in a lot of ways, what we predicted back on the Gang of 405, and then you on your show and me on mine, has come true. Now, the wild card in this was just the rank corruption within the Justice Department and factions of the FBI. And I want to say right now, I'm not condemning all the hardworking men and women who all every day to protect us at these agencies. I'm talking about amongst their management ranks. I mean, honestly, Tammy, I think people should go to jail with what has been uncovered and what's going on in these situations. And I'll conclude the thought this way. And you and I were talking about, well, if Congress has closed the collusion case, what's the deal with Mueller? I would hope that Mueller would do some self-reflection and come to a conclusion that it's in the best interest of the country to at least issue some sort of exoneration of Donald Trump, the president, and let him govern unrestrained and unimpeded by this cloud that overhangs him like this. I mean, don't you think, Tammy, that Mueller owes the good of the country some sort of conclusory statement, at least on the Trump portion of this thing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Victor Davis Hanson wrote over at National Review, and you will remember, Scott, that website, that publication was full of never Trumpers.
Oh, my God. They led the charge, Tammy.
They certainly did. But VDH wrote this: Special Counsel Robert Mueller has indicted 13 Russian nationals for allegedly conspiring to sow confusion in the 2016 presidential election. The chance of extraditing any of the accused from Vladimir Putin's Russia is zero. Some of the Russian Keystone Cops' efforts to disrupt the election favored Donald Trump as well as Bernie Sanders. Yet Mueller's team made it clear that the Russians neither colluded with any U.S. citizens nor had any material effect on the election's outcome. So, you know, as we said, this is all happening. If there was any kind of collusion, it was on behalf of Steele, who colluded with Russian interest in compiling the lurid dossier about Donald Trump, and he was paid by Hillary Clinton's campaign to find dirt on Trump. But we have not heard a single mea culpa, nor will we, Scott.
Mm-mm. Not at all. I mean, CNN is probably one of the biggest disappointments out of all of this. I mean, they used to be the standard bearer for national cable or in international cable news. And, I mean, even people that I admired at one time, like Jake Tapper, you know, went full Monty in this anti-Trump Russia thing. But I will tell you, there will be ice cubes in hell before any of them retract or apologize even when they've been busted dead to rights with erroneous stories against this president, you and I will be. And you can't unring that bell. It's just a narrative that is developed that they're too far down the road with.
Yep, that's absolutely true. Okay, don't go anywhere, everybody. I will be back with my wonderful guest, Scott Jones. The Tammy Jackson Show is sponsored by Robart Companies. They are a true custom firearms finishing shop. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona. You can find them online at robartguns.com. I tell you, Robart is trusted by so many of my friends. It's trusted by law enforcement, military members. They demand superlative weapons with only the best, most durable finishes and customizations. You ask them about their Glocks, their shotguns, their rifles, and especially the Polymer 15. If you want a light rifle that is tested, battle tested, their Robar Polymer 15 has a polymer upper and lower receiver. Amazing, amazing firearms. So if you're looking to buy a custom rifle or pistol, if you're looking to buy a shotgun, or you want to give your older firearm new life, check out my sponsors, robarguns.com. Yes, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
On the 405. Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
On the 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
405.
Children are at greater risk than adults from contaminants carried by floodwater. Since they dehydrate faster, they need to drink plenty of fluids. If the safety of your water is in question, either use bottled water or bring tap water to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute, and let it cool before use. You should also keep children away from mud and make sure they don't play with anything that may have become polluted by floodwater or sludge. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
I'm back. This is Tammy Jackson with my special guest, Scott Jones. if you're just joining the show, Scott Jones is, yes, my good friend. He's a former consultant to the who's who in Texas politics and national politics. He's a former talk show host. In fact, I used to do a show with him on Saturday mornings, joined by John Grant, the fabulous producer, owner of the 405. And we're talking about how much we all miss doing the show together. And I used to be able to do Scott's show with him occasionally. Now, he owns an auction house business, NJ Auctions and Consulting. So, Scott, before the break, we were talking about the mainstream media and everybody on the left that just were talking collusion, collusion, collusion. They got Mueller in on his investigation, and what have they found out? They found out that gosh, everybody's lying, but not necessarily Trump, right? Hillary Clinton aides Uma Abedin, and then and Cheryl Mills, likely they lied to the FBI investigator, and former FBI Director James Comey lied to Congress. So everybody else was lying, and are we hearing apologies? No siree.
Well, what's even worse, Tammy, is it becomes even more and more clear to me that there's two sets of rules and two sets of laws or enforcement of said laws for the ruling class in Washington and people like you and me. If we had been Cheryl Mills, or if we had been Uma Abedin, or if we had even remotely lied, I mean, look what they did to a distinguished man who dedicated most of his life to the service in the armed forces, Mike Flynn. If you're of the wrong political stripe or you're not one of the club, you know, you're going to get a pass. If it were you and me in the same situation, we'd already be indicted, possibly arrested, and having to post bail that we might not be able to afford. Therefore, we would be in jail. But then you look at all these Hillary Clinton cronies and all of those, and they just get a pass. I mean, what Lois Lerner did was an abomination in targeting conservatives at the IRS, and she's collecting a big fat pension.
I was going to say, she got a pension.
Yeah, and McCabe apparently has done something so bad that they fired him before he was eligible to collect his pension, so that's now in play. You know, for them to do that, there's got to be something really, really earth-shattering that he did that that we're just now hearing about or hearing bits and pieces of. But I am waiting with great anticipation for the IG report. That's the Inspector General, for our listeners, who have done a report on the misconduct at the FBI. And I think they're going to resist at every turn trying to release that, because I think it's going to be cataclysmic as to how extensive this plot was to create this narrative against Donald Trump after he got elected, and the fact that they were surveilling people and trying to interfere more than the damn Russians were with the outcome of a U.S. election.
Yep.
I mean, I know it's bad that a foreign entity would interfere for an election, but what about the entrenched interest of our own federal government trying to take the right of we the people to select a president away by rigging the system, or indicting people, or investigating people, or surveilling people? Just 10 years ago, this would be earth-shattering, Tammy, and now people are like shrugging their shoulders. Well, it's just the government misbehaving. It's awful.
It's horrible. It's horrific. It absolutely is. And then, of course, we've got Hillary on her worldwide who's to blame for me losing to her and deplorables or normals.
Oh, my God, Tammy. That trip to India where she almost face planted twice and then says that everybody who voted for Trump was a Stepford wife. How tone deaf can you get?
It's
my God.
Pretty darn crazy.
Even some of her own people are condemning her for that statement.
Yeah, and all of us normals, we're kind of hoping she'll come home to roost in the big house, spurting an orange jumpsuit.
And think, Tammy, how close we came to that shrew becoming president of the United States.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the fact that it came down to Hillary and Trump, even though you and I were not a Trump first, either one of us, voter.
No.
He quickly became our only candidate to vote for when Hillary was the opponent.
She would have been an abject disaster as president.
She would have been. She absolutely would
have been. And I do think, Tammy, both medically and psychologically, there's something seriously wrong with the woman. I really believe that.
Yeah, I do too. It's, you got to know there's something going on there that's not quite right, other than just a sinister propensity to do evil things. Hey, in the last few minutes we've got left, we've got about 3 minutes left here, I want to talk about this whole auction thing. You said we would bore everyone. I don't think so, because I think, how do you go from political consultant to talk show host to auction house owner and auctioneer? How in the world did that happen? I think you've been an auctioneer for a number of years, but what made you decide to do this other than getting away from everything? Do you have just a penchant for finding old stuff?
Well, yeah, now I am an antique, so it kind of fits, you know. But my ex-wife and I got interested in it many years ago. We did the thing where you had an antique booth at an antique mall, and I was very interested in English and British porcelain and sterling pieces. And it was kind of the thrill of the hunt. I was one of the first people on eBay when it first started in 1999. And you figured out you could make a little bit of money out of your hobby. And it's something she and I did together. We would go to auctions, and then I ended up helping at an auction. And then I befriended an auctioneer. And then I went and got my auction license. And just as Obama came into office, the economy went south and the auctioneering business just wasn't very profitable, but I kept my auction license. And, you know, as I stepped away from the radio show, I'm like, what am I going to do now? And an auction house here in town was about to pull out because they were moving to another city where they originated. And so I approached them about taking over their operation here, and ended up buying it out. We're having our fourth auction this Friday, and as the economy is improving, the auctioneering business is getting better. I actually enjoy being the auctioneer, and I've got a lot of great friends that I met over the years that bring in stuff because they're collectors themselves. And I just this last week, a friend of mine of 15 years that I met at one of my very first auctions has joined me permanently and is in charge of putting together the product and how it's presented on the floor, and is what is called the ring man. He directs what we're auctioning on the floor as I call the auction. So it's been, Tammy, kind of a perfect storm of timing and luck of this auction house becoming available, and then one of my closest friends in the business being able to join me and make it a success. So if you believe in divine intervention, I think I'm kind of experiencing that right now with this auction business. I just hope the bombers from Austin don't move up here and start bombing my place.
Yeah, don't let them do that. Well, and it's interesting. You've got a great introductory video on your website. And once again, the website is njauctionstx.com. It's linked on the website. But you talk about the fact that you can do disposition of estates for people. So you don't just... You do everything, and I think that would be awesome for people that have estates and they wonder, well, what in the world do we do now? You're one of those guys that can help them out.
Right. When a parent or elderly relative dies and leaves an entire life's collection together and you don't know what to do with it, it can be a very touchy-feely kind of thing, and there's some sensitivity there, but I can help them find good homes for what was that relative's life's passion instead of throwing it in the garbage or giving it away. Then I've met a lot of middle-aged people that are deciding to downsize, and they want to find good homes because people become attached to their collections. It's very personal.
Yes.
And, not only do I make a little bit of money at it, but I help them find good homes for these things that relatives have spent a lifetime putting together. So
yeah.
It's an interesting business. But Tammy, I want to thank you for having me on. I know we're out of time. I want to thank your listeners. Chuck, I am not drunk on this show, even though I might have had a Shiner Bock or two before I came on to talk to Tammy. But I miss you and John immensely. I miss the 405 and especially our listeners and long-timers like Whiskey Dale and Chuck, Cynical Chuck, and all of them. A shout out to them. And, maybe Tammy, you'll have me back.
I will absolutely have you back. Rest assured. You take care of yourself, and I wish you great, great business success, Scott Jones.
Thanks, Tammy. Anytime.
Wow. Well, I will be joined on the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 on the other side of the break by Amanda Head. Don't miss that. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Rent-A-Computer, at least for this week. And I'm giving you a little bit of a teaser because the company that owns Rent-A-Computer will be taking over as my sponsor. So it's a bigger and better company. I'm excited. But for now, I'm brought to you by Rent-A-Computer, who can save your company time and money on your next short-term need for a computer, audiovisual, or office equipment rental. They deliver the rental hardware your event needs to your office, trade show booth, or event venue location anywhere in the United States or Canada. They offer Apple iPads, iPhones, microphones. If you're planning your next corporate event, remember, rentacomputer.com provides a superior turnkey event rental service with one point of contact for clients both large and small. Visit rentacomputer.com or call them at 800-736-8772. That's rentacomputer.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
The 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tammy Jackson. I'm a little over halfway through the show here on the 405, and now I'm joined by my guest, Amanda Head. Amanda Head is a Birmingham native. She's lived in Los Angeles since graduating from Auburn University. From 2006 to 2016, Amanda was bound to various music contracts. She's a singer. She's a musician. And it prevented her from speaking publicly about her political positions. She's a conservative, which is wonderful. But in January of 2016, Amanda decided to step away from the entertainment industry. She started a video blog called The Hollywood Conservative, and then a talk show. And all this stuff is linked on the show page, so you've got to check it out. Her show, The Hollywood Conservative, is carried on Red State Talk Radio. She also has some great YouTube videos out there. She appears on Rebel Buzz videos occasionally and has a lot going on. Amanda Head, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
great having you on. I want my listeners to learn a little bit more about you. I think they'll be seeing more from you in the future. But you're from Birmingham. How did a young Southern lady from a conservative family end up in Hollywood?
It was probably the biggest mistake of my life. No, I'm glad I'm here. I met the love of my life here, and I have lots of really great friends. But I started singing when I was really young. I did my first musical tour when I was very, very young, and I sang all throughout college. And so when I graduated from Auburn, I figured, you know, when I don't have a mortgage or kids or husband or anything like that to hold me back, that was a time in my life to be, for lack of better terms, a little selfish with what I wanted to do. So I moved out to L.A., and I was in the music industry for 9 years from, 2006 to basically the end of 2015. And then on January 4th of 2016, it was an election year, and we were about to start the primaries. And I had one of those moments in life where I decided that the music industry and entertainment really wasn't the best place for me to use my voice, because I was severely concerned about the direction of our country. And I felt like, as you know, a millennial conservative with the stigma that conservatives are just a bunch of old rich white men, that, you know, I needed to do my part to shift that narrative and to shift that perception. And I was already in Hollywood, and I'm like, well, you know, I might as well start in the belly of the beast and jump into the deep end and start from here. So it started out when I first conceptualized the Hollywood Conservative. It was going to be a video blog on YouTube, but in the process of working on the branding and everything, I went to CPAC. This was February of 2016, and I met a lot of great people, and, you know, I got some cheap business cards online for, like, you know, $15 for like 7,000 business cards that, of course, I no longer use because it's old contact, you know, paper thin, you know, basically mail order business cards. But I went to CPAC with a glimmer in my eye and hope in my heart, and I passed out, you know, probably 300 of those 7,000 business cards, and just networked my fanny off and met some really great people who gave me opportunities to shift my video blog into a talk radio show. So I started out on a network called Red State Talk Radio, or excuse me, Conservative Commandos Radio, and then Red State Talk Radio started carrying my show as well. And then that shifted into the position that I have now, which is spokesperson for a super PAC, and I'm also a daily contributor for The Rebel. So The Rebel kind of did a reshuffling of all of their staff last year, and they brought on some new folks. So their new talent, myself, Sebastian Gorka, Kurt Schlichter, John Cardillo, Katie Hopkins. So we're all part of their new lineup. So I do daily videos for The Rebel, and then I have my spokesperson job, which keeps me very, very busy.
Wow. Kurt Schlichter, by the way, is a good friend of mine.
Is he? Oh, that's so yes. Wonderful. Yeah, he lives down in like Huntington Beach area, sort of.
Yeah, yeah. He's an awesome guy. I love him. I have him on the show every once in a while. And one of the commercials on the station for me features him talking about me. So it's kind of cool. But wow, what a journey. And you're there in that whole area. Do you do things like go to the Friends of Abe?
Friends of Abe has, they haven't been completely disbanded or dissolved, but their president kind of walked away from it. There was a little bit of disagreement within the group as far as, you know, being conservatives in Hollywood, were they going to support Trump or not? So there was some disagreement within the group, and so another group of us kind of started our own little quiet group of Hollywood conservatives. But it's not just people in entertainment, it's people who own businesses, and a guy, you know, some people who started apps, and just kind of movers and shakers in Hollywood, not necessarily actors or singers or anything like that. But we have our own little quiet group of millennial conservatives here in LA.
Yeah, for people that are wondering about that, there are conservatives in the area. Another good friend of mine down there, the great award-winning cartoonist Michael Ramirez, is down in that area, very conservative. There's Gary Sinise. There's a number of people that are conservative, and we're seeing more conservative movies come out and so forth. But still, it can be a bit of a liability in that community.
It is. And, you know, I have to be careful and I have to be cognizant of my surroundings and make sure that, for instance, I don't wear anything conservative or GOP or Trump related to a restaurant because I'm going to an establishment where other people are preparing my food. So, you know, I have to be careful. And as the spokesperson for a PAC that I can't really get away from the name as far as our purpose. It's Committee to Defend the President. So when people, it's funny, when people ask me what I do, I just kind of like wade in the water a little bit to kind of feel it out. So I say, oh, I'm, you know, I work in political communications. And then their next question is always, oh, well, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm a spokesperson for a political action committee. And they say, oh, what's the name of the committee? So I can't really get away from my political leanings when I tell people the name of the PAC, but it's so funny, you know, obviously as conservative women, you know this well, we get attacked so often on social media. But funny story, yesterday, I also post little just kind of like 1 or 2 minute videos on my Hollywood Conservative Facebook page, just because right. They're more personal and they're more casual. And it just kind of lets my followers know who I am and what my humor is and such. And yesterday I posted a video about that portrait of Sarah Sanders. I had been talking about it. I had posted a previous article on my page yesterday, and there had been some discussion on my page about it. So I posted this video about it, and I didn't actually name Sarah Sanders, because you can tell from the picture that it's Sarah Sanders. But I didn't explicitly say that it was her. Well, my mom calls me. My mom is in Birmingham, so it's 2 hours later there. She calls me late last night, almost in tears, and she's like, can you please find another career? And I'm like, Mom, what are you talking about? And she's like, that video that you posted, she thought that Jim Carrey had tweeted about me and painted that picture of me.
And I'm like,
Jim Carrey does not know who I am. Although if he did and he knew what I did for a living, I'm sure he would say the same thing, but he doesn't know who I am.
Yeah.
But she was so upset, and she, you know, because parents, I'm not a parent yet, but I know just from my own parents that when your children are hurting or your children are attacked, you feel it almost worse than your own children do, because you know that my mom always said that when she had children, it felt like a piece of her was walking outside of her body. And
yeah.
So, you know, I get it. And my parents are always concerned about my welfare and safety, but I'm very careful when I'm out and about in Hollywood and keep an eye on my surroundings and such. So it's not too bad.
My dad was really thankful when I started getting trained, firearm training. And, and yep. First by the NRA and then by a Navy SEAL and advanced tactical concealed carry tactics. So when I was trained and had my Glock and had my concealed carry license, he was thrilled because he knew that I've actually had death threats. And I said, well, I'm kind of like Leanne Toohey in The Blind Side, where, you know, I go to prayer meetings with people that are in government. I know a mm-hmm. lot of special forces guys, and I'm always packing heat. So,
I wish I could pack heat in California. I can't say explicitly on air what I have in my apartment, but I have enough to protect myself as well as probably 20 other people. But I made sure that when I moved to this apartment where I live, I made sure that I became friends with the local police department, which the Hollywood division is not far from my house. So a few years ago, when things were heating up with the Black Lives Matter movement, I put together a gift basket and took it over to the Hollywood division of the police department. And it had, you know, instant coffee and energy bars, and I brought dog treats for their canine division and all sorts of stuff, and so they now know who I am. So I always know that if I'm ever in trouble, I can message one of them directly and say, get over here.
That's awesome. What a great thing to do. We back the guys in blue. I tell you what, the left does not, but we certainly do. Amanda, you appear in these Rebel Buzz videos occasionally. I've seen them, and they're very, very good. And last month, you had one titled Trashy Grammys versus Glorious Trump State of the Union. And full disclosure, I haven't watched the Grammys or the Oscars in ages because, like a lot of conservatives and people of faith, I have better things to do and more discernment than to watch people who don't share my values congratulate each other for what they call art and I call garbage.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's so funny. I don't think I've ever watched an award show from start to finish. Even when I was in the music industry, I never watched the Grammys or the VMAs because I feel like it's the cool kids in class just patting each other on the back and giving each other awards. It's like senior superlatives, but even grosser. Yeah. And so I never actually watched them. I've actually watched more, at least pieces of award shows since I started doing what I'm doing now, because not because I'm interested in what they're saying, but because in an effort to, I guess, take one for the team so that my followers don't have to watch, I watch so that I can then regurgitate to them all of the, I would like to say highlights, but let's be real, lowlights of these award ceremonies.
Yeah, and they really, really are. I mean, they're horrible. They're simply horrible. And then you take the State of the Union, which you noted was wonderful. And watching the State of the Union, though, Amanda had, how about those Dems, particularly the Congressional Black Caucus, but all of the Dems were sitting there with these pained expressions on their face, and they would not applaud for anything, even if it was lower taxes or lower unemployment in the Black community. They were determined not to clap.
Yeah, you know, even when he was talking about areas of interest that apply to all Americans prospering, making America great again for all Americans, they just sat there like, you know, they were just trying to keep their seats warm. And poor Joe Manchin, at one point, he wanted to get up and clap for something. I can't remember what the particular comment was. But Joe Manchin wanted to get up, and then he took one glance at the others around him, and he got like halfway off his seat and was like, whoop, nope, never mind.
I know, that was fantastic.
And then at the end, you know, they sat there, I guess, as long as they could. And then at the end, they all bolted out of there like there was an open bar outside.
I know, it was something else, something to see. Hey, if you're just joining the show, I'm speaking with Amanda Head. Amanda Head is a Birmingham, Alabama native who ended up in Hollywood with music contracts, and as of a little over a year ago, entered the conservative pundit arena. She's known as the Hollywood Conservative. I've got the links on the show page. Amanda, you have another recent video titled Quarter Life Crises, Stephen Hawking, Gal Gadot, and More. Now, for everybody listening, if you don't recognize that name right away, Gal Gadot, she's the Israeli actress, singer, martial artist, and model who was the beautiful woman that starred as Wonder Woman in the 2017 action adventure movie. Amanda, would you tell us what all the kerfuffle is about?
Sure. So the day that Stephen Hawking died, a lot of celebrities tweeted about it because celebrities love to post hashtags so that they get more likes and more followers and all of that. And so Gal Gadot tweeted something to Stephen Hawking that said, or not to him, but about him, that said, you know, very sorry to see you go, but now you are free from your physical constraints or restraints. You know, your accomplishments and your wisdom and knowledge will live on forever. So something obviously very innocuous. Well, first of all, let's point out that it was very gracious of her to discuss Stephen Hawking in such a glowing light to begin with, because what a lot of people don't know about Stephen Hawking was he was a part of the BDS movement, and he has spoken very critically of Israel in the past. And a lot of their actions basically in self-defense against the Palestinians. And all the while, it should be noted that the technology that Stephen Hawking utilized to basically function. His computer program that he used to speak and communicate with people was invented by the Israeli branch of Intel in 1997. But he never had hardly anything nice to say about Israel, and obviously she's Israeli. But apart from that, getting back to the main subject of the tweet, she tweets this compliment to Stephen Hawking, and people all over Twitter ripped her for being quote unquote ableist, because she said something about his physical constraints and how he was free from those. And people, I don't know if everyone who tweeted at her or replied to her had a disability, but a lot of them said, you know, I have a disability and I'm not defined by my disabilities. I want people to know me for what I can do and not what my disability is. And it's like, he was known for what he did. Like, he has books written by him and about him. His name will live, you know, in scientific history forever. And people just blew it up. But you know what? People will find fault in everything you tweet. Last week, I tweeted something about the Girl Scouts, and this girl goes on my Twitter feed and starts ripping me for a false comparison. I made a joke about how I loved Girl Scouts, but I quit Girl Scouts when they wouldn't let me take my Discman to 4-H camp. And I was trying to be funny, because, and that part is true. When we went to camp and they wouldn't let me take my Discman, I said peace out, because, you know, being a very musical person, that was a big part of my life.
Yeah.
And so anyway, and so this woman goes on my Twitter page and rips me a new one, I guess just, I mean, shoving it in my face that Girl Scouts is separate from 4-H. Which I know, I was just trying to be funny, but like I said, people will find anything to criticize for any reason, and that's the climate that we live in now, and I've learned to deal with that even more through my position with the Super PAC, because the primary purpose of our Super PAC is to defend President Trump against all of these attacks from political elitists and from mainstream media and from Hollywood, and a lot of these attacks that are unwarranted and twisted and very often just blatant lies. So yeah. I'm pretty used to it at this point, whether I'm defending myself or President Trump, I've gotten used to it.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And I like the point that you made, because Gal Gadot is an observant Jewish woman, and she's known to have really great character. I think she has a daughter, and the things I've read about her have been really terrific. And here you think of, she was writing something innocuous, something complimentary for Hawking's. It was like a rest in peace tweet. And here's Hawking's. Mm-hmm. He's an atheist. He's pro-Palestinian. He's pro-BDS. And for anybody listening, if you're not aware about that whole thing, the boycott, divestment, sanctions, that's Palestinian-led movement. And it's anti-Israel movement. I am not a BDS gal. I am a pro-Israel gal all the way, which is another thing I love about President Trump, by the way, which is another Absolutely. Reason why Hollywood and a lot of the left don't care for him. They've got plenty of reasons, I guess, but that's another thing.
That's right. Yeah, and they have decided that they are moving the embassy during the month of May. I think it's actually on the day of Israeli independence.
Yes.
But I will be there the following month, so I will actually be able to see their new embassy in its rightful home of Jerusalem.
Wow. Wow. I am so excited about that. I tell you what, I was on board with Trump when he became obviously the candidate. It was him or Hillary. And at first I had other people that I thought maybe I'd prefer. I didn't know if Trump would go all the way. But then it became very evident that he was our candidate, and it was either him or Hillary, and there was no way in the world I would ever vote for Hillary or a leftist.
Yeah.
So
and
I thought,
you know, looking back on it. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go for it.
I was just going to say, you know, looking back on it, I think I was on air actually with John Cardillo. I'm sure you know John via Kurt. He and Kurt are great friends.
Yes.
But
yes.
I was on air with John Cardillo. This was when he was with Salem Radio in Miami. And he and I had a conversation. I think this was in maybe March or April. So Trump had not emerged as the nominee yet. Right. And he and I both called it that day on radio. We said, of everyone who's left, who do you think is going to win? And we both called it for Donald Trump. Now, at that point, I wasn't familiar enough with his platform to be on board with him. I knew he would be the nominee. But looking back on it, my heart would have been in it much sooner if I had known then what I know now, which is that there was no other candidate in that pool who could have delivered the message that he did with any ounce of genuineness behind it, because he was the only one who was the outsider. He's the only one who could legitimately say, I'm going to come in there and shake things up, because everyone else had been a part of the swamp forever and ever and ever. And he was the only one that could do that. And he was the only one who brought people from the middle, people who were on the middle and even a little bit to the left. He's the only one who would have been able to bring those people over to his side. And I've got two friends of mine who are senior agents at UTA, which is by at this point probably the largest agency, talent agency here in Los Angeles. Their client list, their roster is just A-lister after A-lister after A-lister. And my dear friend, who is a senior agent with UTA, has been a Democrat his entire life. He still pretty much is a blue dog Democrat, but he voted for Trump.
Wow.
And I heard that time and time again. And so many people talk about how they were so shocked that he won. I wasn't at all. And it's because even in the liberal town of Los Angeles, I would walk into Ralph's grocery store wearing a Trump shirt. And I was much bolder then, and things have become much more divisive since then. So I'm not sure if I would be as bold going in there by myself in that shirt now. But a few weeks before the election, I was going into Ralph's and I was wearing a Trump T-shirt, and a guy gave me kind of like a low key thumbs up. And these types of things were happening all day, every day, every time when I was out in public. And I said, if the liberal bastion of Los Angeles is any indicator of how many people are silently supporting Trump, he's going to win.
Yeah. Oh, it was thrilling. It really was. Well, we've already run out of time. I can't believe how fast it goes. It's just crazy fast. But Amanda Head, my goodness, it was just a pleasure to meet you. And thanks so much for making time to be on the show. I'd love to have you on again sometime.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Well, you take care, and I will be in touch.
Great. Thank you so much. You can find me on, I think I'm already following you on Twitter, but if you're not following me, it's at the HWCon.
Got it. I think I am now, and you were following me, and I've got your Twitter up on the show page as well, so everybody can follow Amanda Head.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you so much, Tammy.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening, everybody. The Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 will be back next week with more great guests. But until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up. Don't be silent. Let your voice be heard, because we have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth. And I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do. And the choir sang. I tried to be a good boy, but I ain't a boy no more. That a man just can't ignore. And this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue.